Good afternoon, gentlemen. Great to see you today. I invite you, if you have a Bible, your app, or if you've got this Word of God memorized, to tune into this. Right now we're reading today from Matthew chapter 26. There's handouts on your tables. The passage is there as well. I invite you to follow along today. Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 36, it says this. And then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. And then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And then going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." And then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me just 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you will not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away for the second time and he prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and he found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And so leaving them again, he went away and he prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up and let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." May God add His blessing to this, the reading of His Word today. I got to tell you guys, this is one of my favorite times of the year, this season that we're in. It is one of my favorites. And it's more than just the colors of the trees changing. It's more than this transition from summer to fall and winter. It's more than that. As a huge sports fan, you've got a full smorgasbord of opportunities to entertain yourself. Football season is in full force. Both NFL and college football, we've made it through. The baseball season just finished up a couple weeks ago. The playoffs, the World Series. That sport, basketball, is starting up here. You know, NBA, college. And two of my favorite sports are in full force, and that's hockey and soccer. And you can spend an evening watching just about anything that your heart desires. And I got to tell you, I don't have an opportunity to watch a lot of television, but when I do, it's usually on a sports channel. And it's not usually on just one. I've got that quick view channel, and I've got a couple channels already tuned in. And I got to tell you, as great of a season as this is for a sports fan, it's also a season that gets me into a lot of trouble. And I shared this a while back with our church, because my tendency when I get tuned into a sports channel is to be pretty tuned in and pretty oblivious to anything else going on around me. And it wasn't long ago that I had the TV tuned, was engaged in the sporting activity of the time, two channels, back and forth, a commercial comes up, I'm back to the other channel, I'm not messing around with the commercials. And I'm sitting there engrossed in this sporting event, and my lovely wife comes walking into the room. And she begins the conversation. And this conversation, yep. You know, I'm right there. I haven't missed a beat from the game. I haven't missed a play. I haven't watched a commercial. I'm flipping channels, listening to her, trying to figure out all that she wants me to do. And she's carrying on this conversation. Halfway through the conversation, she is fired up. And she looks at me and she says, "You are not paying attention to me at all." And then I begin to repeat to her every word that she just spoke to me. "Honey, I'm engaged. I hear what you're saying. I'll get on it in just a minute. Yep, I understand." She said, "No, you do not understand. I am trying to talk to you." I know you are. I hear every word you said. I just spoke it back to you. And you guys know that my spouse is not very happy. And as I hear you chuckle, I'm sure you have been there. And the reality is, for my wife, it's not that she's frustrated that I'm watching a sporting event. She is frustrated because my total focus is right there. And what she wants for me to do just for a few moments is to turn the TV off or at least put it on pause. You know, with the technology we've got today, we can put it on pause and disengage for just a minute. She wants me to really turn to her, to look at her, to look her in the eyes and be fully engaged in the conversation that she's trying to carry on with me. And I missed it. I missed it. I miss those precious moments really to be engaged because I'm right here watching something that is really insignificant in my life. And I miss those precious moments with her. And some of you are sitting here thinking, man, that guy is kind of a jerk. And you know what? Yeah, for a moment, I was. And it's really sad to me that the person, one of the people that is so precious to me in all of life, that I would be so grossly involved in some activity that I would miss a moment to connect with her. And it's not just that. I mean, it happens often. And the other sad part of that illustration, that story, is I think that's often how we treat someone else who's very precious and important to us in our life, and that's God our Father. I think there's moments in our life, men, that we are so engrossed and so in tune with the things that we think are important or a priority in our life that we miss those precious moments to really connect with God. To tune out everything else in our life and to really just look upon His face and just spend some moments engaged in a conversation with Him. And I got to tell you, most of you in this room don't know me. Been in Kokomo for just a little over a year. Those who know me as a face and a name and an occupation. And many of you don't know the depths of my heart, the struggles of life. And I stand before you today and I tell you that one of the things I'm not proud of is I have workaholic tendencies. And I serve in a field and an occupation in a ministry where alcohol or workaholic tendencies are pretty accepted. Many people ask me, what time do you come into the office? And you tell them, but what they don't ask you is, what time did you get off the clock? What time did you stop working? And there's many nights that I'm maybe not in the office at church, but at home in the office until 11, 12 o'clock at night. And I don't tell you that as a pat on the back to say, look at me. I tell you that because I have these workaholic tendencies in my life that I'm trying to overcome on a day-to-day basis. Trying to work on self-care, physically and emotionally and spiritually. And I tell you all that because I would almost bet that there's somebody else in this room that have those same tendencies that I do. And the thing about that, as men, it is so easy for us to gravitate to that. That's who we are. We want to be involved. We want to be active. We want to be engaged. We want to be moving and doing something, whether it's in our work field, whether it's in a hobby, whether it's in some activity of life. We want to be engaged. We don't want to just be sitting around. Let's do something. Let's move. And I say all of this to you today because my workaholic tendency causes me to miss a lot of precious moments, not just with my family, but precious moments with my Lord. And some of you may be sitting there, well, you're a pastor, dude. I know. You'd think I would know better. But because of scheduling, because of trying to do ministry, trying to be involved in ministry, there's moments I go through a day and I get to the end of the day and it's like, oh man, I'm sorry, Lord, I forgot about you today. I didn't spend any time with you today. I didn't stop and just listen for your voice. And I'm sad to admit that. And I'm sad to admit that as a man of God, as a pastor. But that's my life. And I would dare say that that's probably many of your lives as well. And so, man, I want to talk to you today about finding those quiet places in our life to really just simply connect with God and to pause, put everything on hold and just spend some time connecting with God. And that's difficult for us, I think. We come to this passage in Matthew chapter 26. And we see a moment in Jesus' life where He has paused to spend some time connecting with God. And I dare say today that as busy as all of us are, that there's none of us in this room that were any busier or are any busier than Jesus Christ Himself. This is a man who went through his ministry life with people just gravitating to him. People coming out of the woodworks just to get near this man. Either for a healing touch from Him, perhaps a healing word from Him, maybe even a meal that they were able to heal their physical body. But people were gravitating to this man named Jesus because of who He was, because of what He was doing in life and the lives that He was impacting. People were gravitating to Him. Many of them were gravitating for important needs in their life, but there were some that were gravitating to Him simply for selfish reasoning. What can I get out of this? What can I get from that guy right there who I heard is feeding people and teaching people and healing people? What can I get from him? Regardless of why they were there, people were coming to Him in droves, in hundreds and thousands at a time, wanting to just get close to Him. And as they gathered around Jesus, Jesus was constantly taking time to reach out and to touch those who were broken in spirit and in body. Jesus would take the time to have a conversation with those that were gathering at His feet. Jesus took the time to welcome the little children into His presence and sit on His lap. Jesus took the time for people. He invested in them because He loved them and He cared for them. But the reality is Jesus was able to invest in the lives of people because Jesus took time to be alone by Himself with His Father. This passage in Matthew 26 is one story of Jesus finding a quiet place. You can go through the Gospels and find many stories of Jesus finding those quiet places, whether it was a mountaintop or in a boat or just somewhere alone by Himself praying to His Father. Connecting with Him. Being reminded of His purpose and His call and why He was there and what He was to be about. And I got to tell you, men, if Jesus in the busyness of His life and the burden that He carried can find time to connect with His Father, surely we can find time in the midst of our busyness, in the midst of our burdens, to just pause for a little bit and connect with our Father. And while you've already heard, I'm not always good at that, I'm working on it. And so I challenge you men to be working on it, to find those quiet places, those quiet moments to just say, Father, here I am. I'm ready to just listen. Speak to me today. Matthew chapter 26, Jesus has entered into Jerusalem. He has come into Jerusalem for a season of celebration known as the Passover. And He was there with His disciples. These were 12 men that were dearest to Him that He had been traveling with for about 3 years now. And they came into Jerusalem, and as Jesus entered into this city, He was greeted and welcomed as a conquering king that was coming back from some victory at war. And they were praising Him. They were yelling out, Hosanna. They were taking off their outer garments and spreading them on the ground as Jesus came into town. They were cutting down the palm branches and waving them and spreading them out on the street, welcoming this king. In just a few short days, they would be yelling, "Crucify him." And as Jesus comes into Jerusalem, he spends these next few days in the temple teaching and preaching, entering into some deep theological debates with the religious leaders, arguing, discussing, reprimanding, and letting them know of their faults and where they were wrong. And there was this moment just challenging back and forth. In the midst of that, people were still coming to him and they were being encouraged and challenged in his teachings. And all in the midst of this going on, the religious leaders began to stir. And they plotted against Jesus. And we know the story that they got a hold of Judas. One of Jesus' friends. A man who had been traveling with him and hearing his teachings and hearing how this man and watching how this man has changed lives. And Judas betrayed him. He sold him out. And as we transition into Matthew chapter 26, it says that Jesus is coming really to the end of his life and he gathers in an upper room with these disciples. And he shares in a very intimate moment with them, a meal, around a table. And in the midst of this sharing in the meal, Jesus already knows that Judas has betrayed him. Man, imagine the burden of knowing that one of your close friends has betrayed you, has sold you out for some silver. And they share in this meal together and Jesus tells the man that one of you has betrayed me. And they begin to go around the table and around the room. It wasn't me, was it? Surely it wasn't I, was it, Lord? It couldn't have been me, really? And Jesus looks at Peter and he reminds him that in just a few really short hours, you are going to deny that you even know me. And there's Peter. "There's no way, Lord, I'll do that. There's no way I will deny you. I will go to the ends of the earth. I will go to death for you." And we know that story. Jesus leaves this upper room, this meal time, this time of establishing a new covenant. And he ventures off to the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples. It's this passage that we read here in chapter 26. All of that has taken place. Jesus knows that he's been betrayed. He knows that his disciples are going to soon desert him. He knows that shortly his life is going to come to an end. And as they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus carrying this burden, this burden of not only friends betraying him, but this burden of all the weight and sin of the world upon his shoulders, Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, taking these men, and he says, "Let's pray. Let's pray." And he goes a short distance, taking Peter and James and John with him. And he says, "Men, I want you just to stay here and just pray with me for a little bit. Just pray." And Jesus goes and he falls down before his Father. And he says, "Lord, if this cup can be removed from me, but not my will, your will be done." And then he goes back and he finds these men sleeping. Guys, I got to tell you, that is exactly how some of my quiet times have gone. "Here I am, Lord. I'm ready to listen and start praying. And the next thing I know, it's morning. I'm sorry, Father." And Jesus says, "Look, I just wanted you guys to stay awake. Just for a little bit, just pray. Stay awake with me just a little bit and pray." And the second time Jesus goes and falls before his Father in that quiet place and he begins to pour out his heart again. And he comes back and this time he finds the friends sleeping and he doesn't even bother to wake them this time. And the third time he falls before his Father and he pours his heart out in this quiet place, carrying this burden of all the world and all of life upon his shoulders. And he says, "Father, here I am. here I am. He comes back and he wakes these friends, and we know the rest of the story. As Jesus' betrayal comes to full circle, and he's handed over, arrested, and taken off and beaten and crucified. But thank God that's not the end of the story, because he was resurrected from all of that. Amen. But guys, today, my prayer and my hope as we were praying in the back room was that God's Word would just fall tenderly upon our hearts today, and to encourage us and to challenge us in the midst of our busyness, in the midst of our workaholic tendencies, in the midst of the busyness of life, in the midst of all that we do, that man, that we would pause and just find a quiet place with God and say, Lord, here I am. Speak to me. I'm listening. Father, I thank you so much for this quiet place, for this moment to be in your presence, to be really just sitting at your feet today. And Father, as we prepare to gather around these tables and open our hearts to each other and open our hearts to you, Father, I pray you would just continue to pour your Spirit into us. That Father, that you would forgive us in those moments when we are so distracted and so focused on other things that we lose those precious moments of just communing with you. We're sorry. And I pray that you would help us to be so in tune with you that we wouldn't miss those precious moments to just talk with you, to listen, and to be encouraged. I thank you, Father, for these men, for them taking time out of their schedules to be here in this quiet place. And I pray, Father, you would wrap your arms around each and every one of them today. Whatever burdens they've carried in here, Father, I pray that they would be able to lay them at your feet and walk out of here a little higher, a little taller, a little more encouraged. And Father, we thank you that you love us. And it's our desire today that you know how much we love you. And we ask all of this today in Jesus' name. Amen.